Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. Right?
Yes.
All right. Just checking. We've got some visitors. They're sitting too close. I can't move quite as far forward this morning as I normally do, but that's okay. Hey, did y'all wear your steel-toed boots today? Oh, should have worn them. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. You may be kind of wondering, it's like, Kevin, hang on, Matthew chapter 5? Weren't we like there already? Yeah, we spent about 6 months in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to go back because you guys have heard me say this. When I preach a sermon, I'm preaching first to who? Myself. Right? And so with that being said, I didn't do a very good job of learning the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to have to go do a little review this morning. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And you guys are going to have to bear with me a little bit because I'm going to split some hairs this morning. And I know I'm bald, so you're going to say, man, I don't trust him to split anything like that. But the reality is I need you to genuinely hear what I'm saying. Last week, everybody knows what's been going on over the last week and a half in our country with the Charlie Kirk assassination and the fallout of all of that. We talked about that last week a little bit, of learning how to be bold in our faith and putting ourselves out there and not continually being silent as a church. You know, the church, and I'm going to kind of reiterate that before we jump into this week's lesson, but the church has become quiet because the church has been told what you offer is hateful. Because it differentiates from what I have, or what I want, or what I choose in this life. And then we saw the aftermath, and I got caught up a little bit in the aftermath, and it was actually my son Hunter who pointed that out, not directly at me, maybe directly at me, he just indirectly at me. Is, you know, all the hostility and the celebrating of someone's death has been kind of hard, hasn't it? Yeah, and so then we celebrated in their loss of jobs and position, didn't we? How much better are we? You know, the entire Sermon on the Mount is unifying, is Christ telling his disciples, listen, man, I've got so much more for you than just living. I got so much more for you than just obedience. You know, I think obedience is a good place to start. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Jesus is saying, listen, it's more than just being obedient. It's taking the obedience to me and pushing that forward, because I need you not to just be obedient to me. I need you to look like me. I need you to share my heart. I need you to share what I am, because what I am is what offers true hope. What I am is what gives people peace. What I am is what gives people righteousness. And so as Jesus is preaching and teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, you guys remember this. Yeah, there's so many times in this lesson, in these sermons that he gives, that we're like, man, did he really say that? Because he's calling me here, and I don't want to be here. I want to be down here, flying under the radar. I heard a story one time. I shared this once when I preached in Farmington. I had the luxury one time, and they never asked me to do it again, to preach on an Easter Sunday. You know, I used to be really funny. Lana tells me I'm not as funny anymore. I think I am, but she's like, that's not funny. And so I started off my sermon on an Easter Sunday. Of course, you know how Easter is, right? There's a lot of people in church. That's like the one time of year that there is just, that and Christmas, there's just a lot of people in church. So I started off with a joke. The preacher is at the end of an Easter service. He's standing at the back and he's telling people, you know, shaking their hands, telling them hello. And these three younger guys start walking out and he shakes their hand. He goes, well, did you listen to my sermon this morning? I talked about being in God's army. And if you're going to be in God's army, you've got to be here more than just once a year. And they whispered, one of them whispers in his ear, he said, we're in the Secret Service. So you don't know we're here. And I don't think the people thought that was very funny. Kind of like y'all did this morning.
I still think it's funny.
But here's the reality is Jesus is called, you know, the hardship that I have with the Sermon on the Mount is he's calling us to such a different level of our faith. Such a different level of who he has. He's calling us out of someplace, but he's not just calling you out of something. He's calling you into something. And I think sometimes we get hung up because we realize that sinfulness and the sinfulness of the flesh is something we don't desire. Even people who don't know God know and recognize what sin is and how devastating it is in their life. Do y'all know that? That people inherently know this isn't good for me. This isn't a right way to act. This is detrimental to my family. People know that in society. It's kind of like we're hardwired. And so we sometimes feel superior because we feel like God has called me out of that sinfulness. But then we just are left in this place of stagnancy because we're not doing anything. We're not being called into anything. And so when Jesus goes into the Sermon on the Mount and he starts preaching and teaching his disciples, he's saying it's not good enough to just say, I didn't do. I'm calling you to do. And so we have one of the toughest teachings in the entire Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 43. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Man, I'll be honest with you. I wish the entirety of chapter 5 was omitted out of Scripture. Because no differently than some chose to celebrate the death of a man a week ago, I chose to celebrate their inconvenience as a result of that celebration. That is not what God called me to do. That is not who God called me to be. That doesn't share in the heart of who Jesus is. Alfred Plummer writes, to return evil for good is devilish. To return good for good is human. And to return good for evil is divine. I think we as believers, no differently, I'm incredibly convicted about last week and the call to boldness, the call to be who God has called us to be, the call to allow His message to be reflective in who we are. But His message isn't just reflective when we want it to be reflective. It's reflected all the time if we're going to call ourselves Christians. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Starting in verse 17, it says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased. And turn away his anger from him. See, I think sometimes this is the trap that we get in. I think it's human, but Jesus is calling us out of this fleshly experience. He's calling us into his eternal light. And it's super easy to live like a human does. Right? Does anybody know when you knock a dog on the nose with a newspaper, what's he going to do? He's going to yelp. We already know what's going to happen. And our human tendencies are so natural that we become so accustomed to them. But when Jesus is preaching to his disciples, he's saying, this is the natural response to so much of life, but I'm calling you to do this. I'm calling you to be this. I don't want you to respond as everyone else in the world would respond, which would be to repay good for good. I'll be good as long as you give me good, then I'll be good. And it's like, that's just human. That's just human tendency and human nature. But when evil has transpired, for me to be good in that, in the midst of that, now that's divine. Because that only comes from him. Because I can't do that. The reality is, I was in the backdrop celebrating everybody who lost their job this week. Because they didn't agree with me. Because what they were celebrating went against my faith. But God has called us to something different than celebrating somebody else's stumbles. He's called us into prayer. He's called us into having an opportunity to speak into the life of someone else. Is this only my toes? Because I think I know this congregation well enough to know you've probably been a lot like me this week. And we've celebrated a lot of downfalls. We've celebrated a lot of stumbles. And our heart has been glad. I've been telling myself, since Hunter kind of pointed that out, I've been telling myself all week, I need to rejoice when God rejoices. God's not rejoicing right now. He's not rejoicing with any of it. I need to weep when God weeps. If I'm going to be what Jesus has called us to be in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, don't, you know, they say this, but I say this. When he elevates who we are because he's trying to get us to quit living down here in our humanness and start reaching towards who he is. Because the reality, he set the bar way up here. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't reach for it. He set the bar up here because he's trying to call you out of this life into that life. And the more he tries to draw us up out of this, out of the human experience, and more into the eternal experience, I think we have an opportunity to see life as Jesus sees life. And when he sees failures of life, it puts him on his knees. When he sees struggle, he weeps. He doesn't celebrate when evil gets what evil deserves. Because God's desire is that none shall perish but have eternal life. Do you know when God weeps? When someone doesn't embrace him as Lord and Savior. I think that's such a travesty. But this celebration that I've been participating in over this last week are a bunch of people who haven't taken their last breath. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What has God called his children to do in the society? See, because last week we talked about being bold, right? Well, sometimes being bold is understanding that this person has wronged me or that person has stepped against my ideology. What would Jesus do in this situation? He would fall to his knees and start praying for their heart. He would drop to his knees and beg them to know who he is, that he can help them get out of the mire and into his glorious light. I think we have a challenge. I think the biggest challenge is yet to come in the society that we live in. I think there was a great awakening in the last week and a half. It's like watching Bodhi try to learn how to walk. I think the church has become so silent for so long, we kind of forgot how to walk. And then we finally realize, oh, I got two legs. And watching Bodhi, he needs to hang on to something. And then every now and then he'll get bold and take like a step and he wobbles. I think my caution to us as Christians is I believe that there has been a great awakening in our society where people realize this guy stood up for Jesus Christ. And he got silenced because of that. But it's kind of like learning how to walk. What are we going to do with this awakening? We're going to be just like the world? We're going to act just like the world? Are we going to celebrate in somebody else's demise? Or are we going to rejoice when heaven rejoices? Are we going to mourn when heaven mourns? You want to be different? Set apart from the world that we live in? Act different. Be different. That means when somebody who goes against what you believe in suffers, the human tendency is to celebrate. The God tendency is to go to Him in prayer on their behalf, to mourn their struggle, to mourn their loss. And I know it's super easy for us to walk out these doors and go, well, but they had it coming. And they may have. That doesn't mean we should celebrate it, does it? That doesn't mean we should find joy in it, should it? Because the joy that Jesus found was in seeking and saving the lost. The joy that Jesus found is when someone recognized who He was, left everything that they had, and followed Him. The joy that Jesus had was when He hung on a cross. As hard as that is to believe, the joy that Jesus had is when He hung on the cross to create an opportunity for you and I to be called out of this mire into His glorious light. That He stood between God, who God and sin can't mix. That Jesus stood between and mediated as Job longed for in Job chapter 9. Oh, how I long for somebody to stand between, to mediate between God and I, to spare me God's wrath. Because each of us, without Jesus Christ, fall under the wrath of the perfect God. So the joy, the celebration in heaven was when Jesus not only took His last breath, but was resurrected 3 days later. Because in that event, in that moment, we as believers had an opportunity to be reconciled with our Creator. If we're going to celebrate, celebrate that. If we're going to celebrate who we are, celebrate who we are in Christ Jesus. And what does that mean? That doesn't mean just memorize Scripture. It means to take on the very image of who He is. It's to say, I am you. You reside in me. And when people see me, I want them to see Jesus. And in this moment in society, who is Jesus? What is Jesus? There's a lot of mourning going on in heaven in the last week and a half. And it's not just been for Charlie Kirk. It's been for our society. I think the call to believers is as we learn to take steps again, take steps that are in line with who Jesus is. Take steps that are in line with the heart of Jesus. Learn to celebrate His victories. Because His victories have eternal value. These little things that have been going on in societies this week, those aren't victories. They're just humans. Humans being humans. When evil is done and evil gets repaid, we celebrate it. Because that's what humans do. Jesus mourns it. Jesus weeps. My challenge for us this morning, short, sweet, to the point. I know some of y'all are thinking, wow, that was really short. There's no sense in beating a dead horse. Right? I want to leave you with this one more time in Proverbs 24. And I encourage you to highlight this and allow this to affect your mindset. You know, it's interesting. I hear all the time, kids need to get off their phones. Right? Yeah, older people need to get off Fox. So there you go. Because we all get brainwashed by what society wants you to think, how society wants you to perceive things. We need to start spending some time getting to know the Creator. There's peace in that. There's comfort in that. There's strength in that. There's encouragement in that. And more importantly than any of it, there's life in that. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased. I want to encourage y'all this week as we work on our boldness and faith. Rejoice when God rejoices. Mourn when God mourns. When you see the travesties on both sides, whether they're for you or against you, allow it to take you to the throne room of God. Take it to God. Take them to God. Because the one thing I know is that God's desire is that none shall perish but have eternal life. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should take on that mantra, that mission statement. That's even for the people who seem the furthest away from God and who do not acknowledge who God is or a creator. We should be that people that shows them differently as a result of who God has called us to be. This morning I want to challenge y'all with that message. As I said, this is first to me, then to y'all. This has been my weekly, this has been my struggle this week, is learning how to be Jesus in the midst of storms that go both directions. Let me encourage you with that word. If there's anything that we can do for you, I'd ask that you come as Bill leads us in an invitation song. There's a fountain.